Welcome to the God's Word portion of worship from Daleville Christian Church. The reading of the Word and the message. God's Word reminds us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I used to think that people should attend Bible-believing churches. It might be better if people attended Bible-reading churches so that the believers know what they claim to believe. We have an affirmation of our faith when we gather together, this one from Romans chapter 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. We emphasize sonship because in the ancient world, the sons inherited the father's estate. The Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The word of God for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verse 7 through 16. It is the reading for Palm Sunday, the first day of the week when Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem for the purpose of celebrating the Passover. They, that is the disciples, brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, O Lord, have ordained praise. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I never noticed that Matthew, here in our reading today, gives the impression that this report of overturning of the money changers' tables on the temple grounds happened on Palm Sunday, the same first day of the week that Jesus entered the city of Passover, the week that Jesus was killed. It's an interesting detail for a history geek like myself, although it may not be that important. It's not a definite reference. It's just that it follows immediately after Jesus' arrival in the city. Now, Matthew, we assume, that is, me and many scholars assume, that like Luke, Matthew is an editor of materials that he has in front of him, besides any of his own personal recollections and writings. But immediately, before Matthew reports this event of Jesus at the temple, Matthew wants you to hear a question among the crowd. Verse 10, and when Jesus entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, Who is this? Matthew, with his gospel book, will now answer that question. There was a crowd around Jesus as Jesus approached the city, a crowd in front of Jesus and a crowd behind Jesus. Remember, Passover was about to be celebrated. We get the impression that Jews streamed into Jerusalem every year from all over the Mediterranean to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, the holy city. Jesus and the disciples were among them. The crowd think they know who Jesus is. But what about the inhabitants of Jerusalem who never went out of town to Galilee or Jericho. They might have heard of Jesus, even if no one had a phone or Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram. They might still have heard of Jesus. But Matthew tells us, "And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, 'Who is this? Who is this?'" The word on the streets of Jerusalem is, "Who is this guy? Who is this Nazarene? Who is this Galilean?" There'd been plenty of talk, words like healer, rabbi. Some even heard that someone said that Jesus was John the Baptizer raised from the dead. That would certainly be something to see. Word on the street was that the Pharisees didn't like this guy. And for some folks, if the Pharisees didn't like him, they automatically did like this man. Well, let's have Matthew guide us. We who are curious about Jesus as to who Jesus is. It would help if you knew Koine Greek, the language of the New Testament was written in. Well, you're in luck because my professors knew Biblical Greek and taught me enough to get around in the New Testament. So who is this Jesus? Watch. "And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons." Okay, you and I are not Jews. We've never attended the ancient Jewish temple in Jerusalem. So what's going on here? Good question. There's a lot of activity on the Temple Mount right before Passover. Worshippers who do not own livestock or animals, and certainly travelers of any distance, will not have animals for an offering at this festival of Passover. Fortunately, the priests, for a fee, will give you space for a booth or a table on the temple grounds to sell to worshippers. The vendors are selling animals. That's all well and good, right? Well, assuming that the animal prices are fair, or might they be attempting to gouge people because they are a captive audience, aren't they? Those worshipers can't go anywhere else to buy pure items or purified items for sale in order to sacrifice them at the temple, even doves, which should be cheap. Doves were the poor people's offering. Now, what if the priests would decide that they can only accept certain coins in payment, that they cannot accept coins with heathen images of the Caesars or heathen temples for payment for holy sacrifices at Passover? Then that would mean that someone or local banks might provide the acceptable coins. So the temple priests would therefore also rent booth or table space for coin exchangers to set up. But the priests were not going to inspect the scales that were used by the coin-changing people. They didn't have machines for that in the ancient world, so it would be possible to either set your own exchange rate or alter your scales in the coin exchanger's favor. And it would be possible to sell animals at higher than market price. And the priests were not going to interfere. In addition, the priests might also have auctioned off a few booth spaces to a few vendors to sell items that have been given to the temple. The items that the priest can't use or use in sacrifice. People often left offerings and thanksgiving to God, food, statues, plates. There would always be a crowd on the temple grounds at festival time to sell to, so the temple can make more money that way. But one thing you might want to notice is how the temple priests were literally able to cash in at the Passover festival. Now remember, if this sounds like the priests are playing fast and loose with the idea of doing the right thing, or if the priests just seem to be greedy, remember there was a group of Jews out of the Dead Sea who already came to that conclusion, that the priests at the temple were corrupt. We believe that they were the Essenes. They wouldn't be coming to the temple for any reason ever. They thought that the temple worship was too morally compromised. The priests were compromised. Temple worship to the Essenes could not be made pure by any human means. They would prepare for the final battle of good and evil, and they would fight with God against the heathens and the compromisers. By the time Matthew put his book in writing, Matthew's congregation would have remembered the Essenes. Matthew reported, verse 12, Jesus entered the temple of God, drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. The way Matthew stated, Jesus was not upset with the priests directly. After all, Jesus was still going to worship in Jerusalem at the temple. Jesus was in the city for the Passover festival. Jesus had not joined the Essenes out of the Dead Sea, and Jesus was not one of them. Jesus was an observant Jew, going to temple as God's word directed. But Jesus had had his fill of the vendors, those who rented booths, tables, and space for the purpose of ungodly gains. While all those vendors might have the appearance of making temple worship easier and convenient to make your offering at the temple, the vendors were making temple worship more expensive to worship rightly. At some point, you would price poor righteous Jews right out of worshiping during Passover. The vendors were buying booth space and selling coins and animals and other stuff. Jesus may not have been against the services that the priests of the temple, because of the presence of the vendors, but Jesus was certainly against the abuses that were known to take place in the temple precincts in the name of the Holy God for the purpose of God's worship. If we need to draw a modern conclusion from this episode, sales in the church are not wrong on principle. Because you want to understand that the temple was making money in these transactions, and that was okay. But the transactions were not fair transactions. The transactions were tainted. So Jesus did not lodge a protest against the priests, and Jesus still intended to worship at the temple. But Jesus overturned the tables and the booths and the seats of those who were making the transactions. Matthew says that Jesus cast them out. Does the word sound familiar? It should. Jesus casts out demons. No one I read made much of this in the commentaries, but Matthew used the Greek word for cast out more than any other writer in the New Testament. Matthew knew what he was doing, or certainly the Holy Spirit did, for Matthew to note that Jesus cast out the perversions of holy activity going on within the temple precincts. Now, are you like me, and all you can think of is the word of the prophet Malachi in the third chapter, Malachi 3, 1 through 4? Just say yes. Therein we read, "Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Were you noticing how much that looks like our reading today? But if I, a simple Midwestern Gentile pastor, noticed that, wouldn't Matthew's congregation have noticed that? Even though Matthew did not point us in that direction? But continue with Malachi's word of the Lord. "Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years." Is Jesus refining the sons of Levi by driving out, casting out those who are doing evil and polluting the sacrifices to the one true God? So that Malachi 3:4, the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord? So why draw your attention here on Palm Sunday? Well, for one, I never have before. And remember the charges that will be made against Jesus at his trial that we remember and will remember this Holy Week. Jesus did not answer the charge of the destruction of the temple, which Jesus spoke of. So the priest asked Jesus directly whether Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus said, "You have said so. But I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power." At this, the priest tore his robes in rage and disgust, stating, "This Jesus has uttered blasphemy. Why do we still need witnesses?" But we're getting ahead of our Holy Week services, aren't we? Let's finish Matthew's report of the events in the temple of the living God in Jerusalem. Jesus said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." My old professor said, Jesus' words are a way of saying that the temple was harboring people who were criminals in Jesus' view. Verse 14, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant, and they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you, Lord, have brought perfect praise'?" Notice that Matthew tells us the children were chanting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Son of David, a title of the Messiah. And the children chant it. What did Jesus say before? "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Mark's gospel stated it more directly, "Receive the kingdom like a child." The children in the temple precincts that day had faith. The chief priests, that is, present and former chief priests and the scribes, were indignant. Matthew shared what Jesus said. "The first shall be last." The Jewish leadership should have faith. But the last shall be first. It was little children who proclaimed the Son of David, Hosanna. And so Psalm 118 says, verses 26 and 27 also appear fulfilled. "Blessed is he who enters in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar." Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Today, this Palm Sunday, a little noticed part of the events of so long ago. The fulfillment of God's word for the Messiah who has come. Jesus the Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.